back to another episode of Small Town Expectations. My name is Brandy Rose, here with my wonderful partner, Hales Bassing.
Hey, hey.
We're excited to bring you another small town story here on this wonderful little podcast, Small Town Expectations, where we sit down with people and get to hear what they have experienced and what their story is.
Yeah.
But first, we want to remind you to follow us on all of the social medias. We are on Facebook. We post pretty regularly right there on that platform. You can head on over, like that page, and you'll see all of the updates as they come in. Lots of pictures are posted there of the folks that get to come on this podcast and tell their story, which is kind of exciting. Also, we're on Instagram. Of course, lots of pictures there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to be on this podcast, all you have to do is message us on either of those platforms, or you can email us at smalltownpodcast@yahoo.com. That's where we hear from folks where they come on and say that they want to tell their story. They want to share their experiences with the whole entire world.
Yeah.
Because the whole entire world is listening.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Those weren't convincing eyes. But I believe that the whole entire world is listening.
I think we have a great listener base.
I do too. And we're really excited about where this podcast is coming and going. Today we hear from Melissa Cheffers. That's right, Cheffers, for all of the folks out there who say her last name wrong.
Myself included.
Yes. We're excited to hear about just her experience from moving from LA. She grew up in actually a ginormous town and moved to a small town. And that's what we love. That's what we want to hear from. So let us know if you would like to be on this podcast and tell your story, share your experiences, smalltownpodcast@yahoo.com. And of course, every week we like to highlight a community in everyone's life because we know that when you reflect, you're going to think of some folks in that particular community. And this week, we would like to highlight people who don't live near you. That means you have friends in other states, you have friends in other cities that are doing big, great things that you may need to call on, you know, when you need somebody to support you a little because you're going through something hard.
Yeah.
Or you know them because they're working, you know, this really crazy, amazing job or working this crazy, amazing place. And maybe they will be able to answer a question that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has someone like that in their life. And so today, that's what we want you to reflect on are those folks. Melissa shares a little bit about the folks that she has been able to just cross paths with, and most of them don't live near her anymore. And they're doing crazy, amazing, beautiful things in big, giant cities. And that's really exciting. So, Haley, who is somebody that lives in another city that you could call on? Maybe you're not like in contact every single day. Maybe they're a best friend or a really close friend that you do keep in touch with.
Sure. Well, we just had our friends in town for the closing of All Shook Up. So summer theater's over, basically. Our main stage is over. And our friends from Dallas just mm-hmm. came into town, which those friends are ones that we do talk to every day.
And the little tiny bustling city of Raton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are people that we talk to every single day. And also they're people that we could go to because they love us and they support us. And if we're going through something hard, they would scoop us up and give us some sort of words of encouragement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my best friend Chastity. She still lives in Texas. I still live in New Mexico. And I know that when I need just some really beautiful words of encouragement, that's my person.
Yeah.
So I love her. She really is my best friend. And we always say every single time we talk, which we will catch up for hours.
Yeah.
And that happens every time, no matter what. We always say we should be better at this. And we never are. But we still are best friends.
Yeah.
And we still support each other from afar. So I share all of the things that she's doing with Hope Home. And I, you know, consistently pray for Chas and the things that she's doing with her ministry. And I believe that she's doing the same for me.
Yeah.
So
it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Theater is this weird world or family. I don't know what you call it, but it's really cool with social media. You're able to see Ashley Cooper. She's one of the leads that we had at Sandstone a handful of years ago, and now she's performing in, they just did Mamma Mia in Houston. And so it's cool to be able to see her, and I'm pretty sure she teaches students too, like during the school. She's teaching theater. And one of our old friends, Beth Kinney, she's teaching theater in Las Vegas, and she was one of the ones that was at Sandstone when we were fresh out of high school. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because she likes our posts and comments and just on things that exist, you know.
Yeah, I really love hearing, because of social media, right? It's easier to stay in contact with these people and really know what they're doing. Adam Graham was somebody that I went to high school with, and he's doing really crazy, amazing things in LA. And for a while, he was acting in LA, and now he has a ministry, and he's just doing big things. There was a guy that was in band with me, and he is a scientist in upstate New York, and he is doing research for AIDS.
Yeah.
For like folks who have AIDS, or I think it's full blown AIDS. It matters, right? but he's doing this really amazing work for people who are sick.
Yeah.
And finding the cure and finding things that help just with that particular disease. And I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
And I know that if I was ever in a situation where maybe I needed some information about something like that, I think that I could reach out to him on social media and probably catch up with him.
Yeah.
And you know, he would answer all of my questions joyfully.
Yeah.
So
it's cool.
It is.
I've had some random people hit me up just about some information about some microphones, because she does therapy, and one of the things she does is listening to something that they need to record. And so she was like, hey, I'm writing this paper. What kind of microphones do you guys use at Sandstone? You know, and it was totally like, I'm like, I haven't talked to you in 10 years or something, but it was cool.
It is. It's really neat. It's good stuff. And then let's see, like, just let me brag for a second here. So my graduating class had two people who went on to be professional athletes. Charlie Martin, he was an NFL football player. And then Mike Dunn still plays for the Colorado Rockies.
Yep.
And those are people I think that, you know, I don't know that I could call on them today, but they're people that I get to watch from afar doing really amazing things.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Charlie so much, but I do know that Mike does a lot of charity and a lot of work with young people in sports and athletics.
Cool.
Which he was this super solid guy, you know, what, 15 or almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He was really an incredible human, period. And so now that he's just on that platform, I just think that he's probably doing really, really great things.
Yeah.
So just cool stuff, right? And that's what we get to do, especially because of social media, but also because we pay attention to other folks and we try to stay in contact with people. But there's people who don't live near you that have crossed your path and you've had an effect on their life. They've had an effect on your life. And that's this thing called life.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's really neat.
It's cool.
So we're encouraging you today to reflect on some of those people that have crossed your path, that have gone on to do amazing, beautiful things. And let me tell you that you are somebody that has crossed a path that somebody's thinking about you.
Yep.
I think that's true. So let's get into Melissa and hear about the paths that have crossed Melissa's and Melissa's crossed their paths. She has a really, really cool story. She came from LA. She moved to a small town and then moved to a smaller town and then moved to Farmington. And it's just a really neat thing. So take a listen. Here is our good friend, Melissa Cheffers.
And grow as we go. Grow as we go.
Welcome back to another episode of Small Town Expectations. I'm here with my friend Melissa Cheffers, and I'm excited to introduce her to all of our community. She's been around for a while, and she has a really, really fantastic story. So here she is.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Melissa. That's my catchphrase. Yay.
And let me just tell you, the way that she just said hello is exactly how she is, like, 95% of the time. Do you know what I mean?
A little bit peppy, yeah.
Yeah, you are always very excited. Mm-hmm. So I know Melissa through Theater World. She's doing Sandstone this year. So if you haven't seen All Shook Up, it just ended yesterday. So you can't watch it, sorry. But you can look at some of the pictures and things like that that are posted online. I'm sure that Haley and I talked about it in the intro of this podcast because that's what we do. But she has lots of really great stuff coming up. And so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But first, I would just love for you to introduce yourself and tell folks how old you are. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm still young, so I can be okay with it.
That's true. You are.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm 28. I am a Gemini, and I love long walks on the beach. I'm just kidding.
You are a Gemini.
Yeah, very much so.
I could see that.
Yeah. I'm not super into that, but I totally, every time I say that, everyone's like...
Oh, I'm only into it because Haley's so into it.
Yeah.
Like, Haley, one of the things that she does is she will instantly know what a person's sign is, and then we'll look it up or whatever. And then I went to a conference a while back, and that was, like, one of the people that was at that conference. And it was a training, really. And we're a very close group. And that was the first thing she did. She was able to say, like, you're this, and you're rising sign, and you're da-da-da. And yeah.
That's crazy. Some people love it, and it's so cool. And I love it when they talk to me about it because I have no idea. And yeah. It's like super fun to learn.
but you have the, I'm thinking of all of the moments that I've had with you, and you are very Gemini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that on there. So yeah, I'm originally from LA and I moved to Pagosa Springs right after college because I got hired to do a job there. I was in Spamalot and the Full Monty at the Pagosa Springs Center for the Arts and Thingamajig Theater Company. They are awesome. Check them out as well. We're not that far away. And I was there for about 4 years and then moved to Durango to do Rock of Ages and then was Mary Poppins last year at Sandstone. And then now I'm Natalie/Ed this year for All Shook Up.
Yeah.
So it's been a great journey. And I'm teaching at the college. So
yeah,
super fun.
Cool. But it's been quite the journey to this place.
Definitely.
You, you know, just hanging out and sitting with you, kind of hearing little snippets of your story, you have been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, you're not a long way out of those kind of those experiences.
Yeah.
But let's start off where you grew up and what your childhood looked like.
Cool. So I'm originally from Whittier, California, and I grew up with a great mom and dad. My dad is actually a NFL Super Bowl referee. I mean, he was the 51st Super Bowl referee, and that was pretty awesome. He's actually the white hat, so it's pretty cool. He's the one who talks on the screen and everything and gets to do all that.
He's the one that when people tweet about how hot the refs are, that's your dad.
Definitely. He's number 51. Shout out. He's still doing that this year. He's actually on his way to Washington right now for a big conference. I get to talk to him right before I came here. So it's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
And I've got a beautiful mother who does, she currently does medical transcriptioning and she's a professional costumer. After I started doing musicals in high school, her and my dad both got into building some stuff for musicals. So she's been doing professional costuming since I was little, but moved into the real like musical theater professional. And she works at Thingamajig Theater Company now
in Pagosa,
making costumes for them. So she just did The Who's Tommy and Ring of Fire there. And so they're still going on until the end of August. So you can actually still see those if you're really aching for some theater before.
Yeah, cool.
The summer. Yeah. So they're also doing Jekyll and Hyde and a couple other things. So go see them. They're awesome. And I have an older brother. His name's Ben. He's got a baby coming. I just remembered that. He just told me last week. So hopefully this doesn't show up and he's going to be mad at me. But yeah, they've got a little baby coming.
Are you excited to be an aunt?
Yes.
Do you know what that means?
He's due on leap day. I don't know. Maybe a she. I don't know. Whatever. It's due on leap day next year. So
that's so cool.
I know. And my sister-in-law is an amazing teacher at Lucerna High School, which is where I went to high school as well. And she is a pretty big nerd, so they're both, and my brother's an accountant, so they're both like, leap day would be the day for it, so it was pretty funny when they were telling me, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so, as an aunt, do you, like, are you ready to be an aunt?
I mean, they live in LA, so I have a little bit of an easier time not having to be as close, I guess, or a harder time at the same time, but I'm excited to go visit and have some of that, and definitely gonna sing all the time, like I do anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul told me to mention that. Paul's my boyfriend. Hi. It's me, Melissa, Paul. And so he was like, don't forget to mention that you're literally a Disney princess and sing at things all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just have those video chats and sing to the new baby.
That's so awesome. Growing up in L.A., did you get to go to Disney a lot?
I didn't until there was a year before it got super crazy expensive. My mom actually surprised my brother and I with passes to Disney for the year. And I think it was like $250.
Oh, so it was a long time ago.
Still a lot, but like not as much as it is now. And then in college, I went to college in Irvine, which is about...
Isn't Disney in Irvine?
It's in Anaheim, so it's right next door. Yeah. So it's very, very close. And it's only about like a 20-minute drive on the 405 freeway there. So I worked during college to get passes, and we would just go to get hot chocolate and take a couple rides and, you know, do that. And it was pretty cool. One of us would get the free parking pass, and then, like, the rest of us would be just carpool. It was super fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
theater friends going to see Disney.
Cool.
So I did. Fortunately, get to do that a lot.
Yeah, that's really neat. I like following like people that I went to college with. I can think of one actually. Oh no, there's a few. There's one. It works for Disney and like does some extra shows. And then I follow like weird YouTubers online, and they worked at Disney and was like,
I have a ton of friends that work at Disney because I'm from that area. So like I've got a friend named Kelsey Blackwell that I worked with in college once, and she's still doing parades now, and she's this fabulous dancer, and I'm always living vicariously through her on Facebook. But I get to play Disney Princess in a Princess Party Company for a while.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was Ariel. So.
So wait, okay, so tell us about that. Tell us about that experience.
Oh my gosh.
So How old were you?
I was in my sophomore year of college, so...
probably like 20.
Yeah, about 20. It was still cute, still trim, you know. and I got to play Ariel and Rapunzel and go to Disney Princess parties. And my favorite question from a kid ever, well, less of a question and more of an aggressive comment, was, I went to the ocean, I didn't see you. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
I've been here.
I'm so sorry, because we lived near the ocean, you know? So, and I wore high heels and, you know, a little skirt that my mom made me and this fantastic top and, you know, everything. And he's like, I went to the ocean, I didn't see you. And that was it. And he walked away. And I was like, I am so sorry.
Well, there's like, there's responses that you're supposed to have, right? And I'm sure they didn't prepare you for that one.
Oh, no. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, Atlantis is really far away. I'm like, I just swam in for this party. So, you know, and he's like, well, it looks like you have legs. And I was like, how do I answer these questions? I was like, I'm not prepared. This isn't in the script.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. I got actually like Cinderella about a year ago at a friend's party in Pagosa. And so that was really fun, too. And,
heck yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's just my favorite. And then playing Mary Poppins, too. She's kind of a Disney princess. Mm-hmm. Although she's a lot meaner in the show than she was in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that in the show, she's much more like, snip, snip, whatever. And then in the movie, she's more kind and loving.
She's a little bit like, oh, you know, rather than being like, and let's go. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Let's go. It's going to be great. Yeah, that was super fun, though.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so when you were in high school, you have been able to experience kind of small-town life.
Yeah.
But you grew up in a place that's huge.
Yeah.
You had a huge high school and in a theater that's probably huge. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear just your experience in a much bigger setting. Because you're incredibly talented, and I'm not saying that just because you're sitting in front of me. You're very, very talented.
Thank you.
And I probably, okay, like, this is a side note, but probably, so for the last 2 years, I've seen you in a handful of things, and probably my favorite is Sherry in Rock of Ages.
Mine too.
That's probably been my favorite role to see you in.
Yeah.
But, and you shared with me that that's actually your first lead that you've ever had. And when you said that, I was like, huh, because it really is, like, genuinely my favorite that you've been. And so tell us about growing up in a huge city, in a huge theater, and what that was like.
Yeah, so, again, I grew up in Whittier, California, a pretty big place. And my school, so Serna High School, and, I mean, my graduating class was, like, 1,500 kids, so it was a lot of kids. And I had a fantastic experience What actually happened is I had to join, I didn't have to, but I chose to join choir my junior year, and everybody that was in choir did the shows. And I didn't know that until after I had already been through, you know, past auditions for the first show, which was You Can't Take It With You. And I made a friend named Caitlin, and she was the lead in that show. And then the next show is going to be Ragtime, which is this absolutely fantastic show about race and immigrants coming in 1902 to America. And it's beautiful. And we had, I was lucky enough to have a lot of diversity, which we don't have, you know, as much here in Farmington, but lots and lots of diversity in my class and everything. And so we could do shows like that, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous show. And I was dancer number 3 with my parasol. And my dance partner, Ryan Powell, I still remember you in case you ever listen to this. And I just really lit a fire under me. And my mom made costumes. And my dad came in and started building sets. And just the choir teacher slash theater teacher was just... Mr. Carter was just absolutely fantastic and really, really hard on us. And I always say this, and it might be biased, but I always think that my high school productions are even sometimes better than some of the productions I'm in now, you know. And so it was so good and so much fun. And we had, I don't know, 60 to 70 kids in that, but you didn't feel like it was. And one of my favorite stories from that is I actually got a stomach flu on the first night of the show. And so I was running on and off stage throwing up. And finally one of the moms was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't feel good, but it's my first time being on stage, so I can't go anywhere." So I'm just like running on and off stage.
Probably
and, like,
sweating because you have a fever.
Yeah, it looked great. Yeah. I mean, it was 1902. So like, to be fair, maybe it was like a little bit hot. Yeah. And we're in these like beautiful like gowns and stuff and trying to dance. And that was... Everyone always jokes that I probably wouldn't ever leave the stage if I broke a bone or something, and that's probably accurate. But that was my first start on that, and then I got to play somebody in a show called Urinetown, which is this hilarious show.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, and it's got kind of a political background and stuff, but it's super fun, and I was just his secretary. They added a line for me, and it was paper. That's it. And that was my first line ever.
And they liked you so much that they gave you that line.
Yeah, they added it in for me, just for me. It was fantastic. And then I got to be in a show called Me and My Girl, which is a really good show too. It's kind of like Pretty Woman in a sense, where there's this girl that is not very high class, and then this guy that she's dating finds out that he's actually an heir to this huge mansion and stuff. And I got to play, like, I think her name was like Mrs. Browning, and say like 7 lines in a Cockney accent. And I was like, perfect, I'm in, let's do this. I love accents, so that's super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, got into college and did a couple of shows there, and that's a huge place. And I got to play a couple roles there, but my first real professional paid acting role was Sherry, and so it still has a big place in my heart. And I got to meet Paul there, and Ben Mattson, and a couple other people that I just have always been in love with since then, and really good friends. And I got to work with Teresa Carson, who's fabulous, and a couple other people, so
yeah,
super fun.
So when you were in college, what did you study?
So I started off as a chemistry and mathematics major, and quickly found out that that was not going to work out as well as I planned. And I still auditioned for the shows, and I didn't get into the first one, and then I got into the second one and got to play like a smaller character in The Man of La Mancha, and that was super fun. And I was still like, nope, I can't do theater. My parents want me to be a little bit more financially secure. And then I went into history instead and business, and then I switched from history to theater. So I ended up with a major in theater with an emphasis in acting and directing, and a minor in business with an emphasis in accounting. Obviously, they go together super well.
But they could. They could. I feel like you are well equipped to put together budgets and things like that.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for that, Brandy. Yes, just getting back into that. I use my business degree a lot less than I use my theater degree at the current moment. Yeah. But.
And, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. Just Google it.
Yeah.
So there's always
The blessing of our era.
Yes. So Concordia, right? Yes. Concordia College or University? Okay, so Concordia University, not actually a very big college, which probably was a little bit of a different world for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What was it like making friends? And what was it like just kind of navigating that little time of your life?
So I loved my college. I applied for a choir scholarship, and they do beautiful choir scholarships. Like, they help you really pay for school. And being a university, it was pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. But I got into choir there, and the choir is, I mean, nationally known. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe like 60 of us in the choir. So it's a big choir. And that helped me kind of go through the ranks with getting into some shows. And again, my first professional role was Sherry, and I didn't tell you this before, but I was able to play a couple roles in straight plays during that and a couple in musicals during that. I did get to be Ariel in Footloose, so that was my first, like, I guess, kind of lead role, but not in professional world.
Mm-hmm. Where was Footloose at?
At my college, yeah. Oh, my senior year of college, I got to play Ariel in Footloose, which was super, super fun. But I met some of my best friends in the entire world there. I got to do this show called The Cover of Life, which is one of my favorites in the entire world. And it's about, you know, three wives that are married to three brothers that move into the mother-in-law's house during World War II. Mm-hmm. So it's about, like, 1942, right before the wars, you know, like, really getting going. And so my character ended up actually committing suicide because she couldn't have kids, and they found out, and they're the cover of Life magazine, you know, Life magazine's coming to do a cover on them. And that was my favorite role to date ever, was that role. And it really helped shape my career, and it was a little bit more serious and cynical, and I've always played these yay, everything's going to be great characters. And that one was a little bit more tough and
more of a challenge, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. Just
And it sounds like it pushed you a little bit more.
Well, we got to go to a national competition with that called KCACTF, and we actually got the whole show nominated, which is kind of unheard for a really small college. So that was
super fun. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you were the lead.
Well, it was balanced between five of us as leads, basically. Mm-hmm. So it was super fun, and it was all girls except for one boy who came in a couple times, so that could be really catastrophic. And somehow we found all of the girls in the show to be really just meshed really well. And I met my best friend during that. Her name's Katie. And I got to slap her in the show. And that's how we got to be best friends, because we had to do it over and over again. And the person who did the fight choreography was like, if you could slap her, she gets to slap you. And that was our warm-up. We'd always be slapping each other in the face. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And she's working in Chicago now. So
that's awesome.
Theaters and doing some management for theater in Chicago now. So
cool.
She's still kicking butt.
And you guys are still best friends and still talk often.
Yeah. We do.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Cool. So, what happens after you graduate college? How did, like, what happens next?
So, I met friends at KCACTF my sophomore year. A couple people that worked in Durango and in Pagosa. One of the girls is named Elise Newbert, and I still talk to her. And
I know her. I don't actually know her. I just know of her.
Yeah. So,
and she's working in New York now.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yep. And she got, I think she just moved to California, but I'm not positive. She got a role at Thingamajig and then dropped out because she got hired to do choreography and a couple other things that she was really looking forward to after college in, like, Vail or something. And she actually just told Tim, like, you should, you know, and told me that I should send out an email with an audition, and I got cast in Thingamajig. And I was there, and I was there for a summer. We did Spamalot and The Full Monty, which are super fun shows. Mm-hmm. And then I met a guy and got married and was married for a couple years, and then didn't work out quite as well as I had planned originally, but I did get to work in Pagosa for a couple years doing, like, The Little Mermaid. I got to be a mermaid in that, and Cabaret, and a couple other really great shows, and it was super, super, super fun. And then I got cast as Sherry and moved to Durango.
Yeah.
And changed my life completely going there with a couple things, so
Yeah. So how old were you when you got married?
I was, 22 mm-hmm. when I got married. 28 now, so a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then I was married for 2 years, and he actually took advantage of me in our hot tub one night, and I remember distinctly he was very, very drunk, and I wasn't completely sober either, but I definitely was not anywhere near the amount that he was, and I just remember that very vividly. And about 6 months later, I started filing for a divorce because it was really hard to accept that that was what happened. And
yeah.
especially in marriages, it's really hard to decide that you were raped by your partner mm-hmm. and that it wasn't just saying no and him deciding that he was going to take advantage and
yeah.
stuff. And it's really hard to allow yourself to say that out loud. And when I moved to Durango, right as that was getting started and kind of finishing the part where I was with him, it happened in January of that year, and I moved to Durango in June
mm-hmm.
of that year. And I had already started filing for divorce before I left. And I went into Walmart, and I didn't even know what I wanted to eat. And it was really vivid in my mind to
yeah.
have, like, knowing I was going to live on my own for a little bit. And I walked in and just realized severely how controlling he was. And except for maybe a couple friends, everybody was like, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
That was the right decision. You are correct in what you're doing. And I've never thought that that would be my reaction.
Right.
Obviously, there were a couple of people that were like, you're crazy. You guys were perfect for each other and everything was great. But that's how it is when mm-hmm. you go out in the world and you know, especially an actress, you always have that option to pretend. And you don't want to be at a restaurant and get in a big fight in front of everybody in your small town because
right.
Ghost is tiny.
Yeah.
And so he finally made that decision. And, of course, there were people that will never believe that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't great either. So
right.
Obviously what ended up happening was that we just weren't really right for each other. And I think that it was the best decision I've ever made. And anybody that's ever known me has seen me in the past 2 years, and I've been much, much, much lighter.
Yeah.
And met a great guy who still makes me smile and giggle and makes my heart happy to this day and still surprises me and just treats me the way that I've never thought that I was supposed to be treated because I never knew that I was being treated badly.
Yeah.
So just really learning through that has been a big part of my life. And there's still really, really hard days. And I still get really bad anxiety attacks and panic attacks. And Paul's literally breathed me to sleep one night and was just like, let's just breathe together and
mm-hmm.
go to sleep and we'll get through this. And, you know, very forgiving for the hardships that I've had.
Yeah. Well, let me just first of all say, that sucks. And I'm so sorry that happened to you because that's really awful.
Yeah.
And especially when we live in a world where there's an idea that just because you're married, you're supposed to want to always...
Yeah, say yes.
You know, say yes. And that's not true.
Yeah.
You get to decide what happens to your body and you get to decide... You get to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And I hate hearing when that happens to somebody because I know that it hurts a lot. And you are somebody who experienced that and was able to go, there's a lot of control in my life. And you had that sort of awakening when you couldn't even decide what to eat.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a realization. And I'm also really sorry that people are, that people don't believe you and that people don't want to hear how bad that hurt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's something that we unintentionally carry with us. And it's something that Paul has been so gracious through.
Definitely.
You know? And you have also found a way to work through it and be this incredible human that you are today. And I hear you say that there are hard moments. And I think that's real. And you have to know that that's real.
Well, and especially at 28, already having gone through a divorce, when people hear that, they just automatically assume that you're young and you got married too fast. And that's not that that's not true, but there are other factors that happened
sure.
that I'm not going to share with every single person.
You don't have to.
I realize I just did, but like, you know, not every single person that asked
me
about it.
But you don't have to.
And they'll never be able to be in my brain from that night. And
mm-hmm.
at this point, I've learned a lot through that, and it doesn't really matter what everybody thinks. I'm starting to learn that at 28, mm-hmm. finally trying. And especially being in something that you're literally judged for, being in theater, you know, that's part of the job is that people are either going to like you or not like you. And they either like your singing voice or don't like your singing voice, or like your acting and don't like your acting, mm-hmm. or don't think you're a good dancer or whatever. And so, like, my entire life is about being judged. And sometimes I think I get really sensitive about that, because especially with the divorce and everything, because people tend to just automatically assume that you were dumb, you mm-hmm. know, and that you were reckless and all that stuff. And that's not, again, that's not that that's not true, but there were a lot more extenuating factors than just being young and stupid and in love.
And Melissa, I appreciate you so much for getting vulnerable right now, because you're right. Like, people don't have to know that about you. They don't, first of all, they're not entitled to know that stuff about you. And it's not fair for them to ever judge you and say that you were reckless or say that you made a bad decision, because I promise you there's stuff in their life that they've done kind of on a whim. And I'm not saying that that's what you did at all.
Yeah.
But when people start pointing their fingers back at that, at you, like, take a look at yourself first.
Yeah.
You know? And also, nobody knows, like, the journey that you were on and knows. So it's not, again, it's not fair for anybody to judge you for getting divorced.
Yeah.
And deciding that that relationship and that marriage wasn't healthy. And so I hope that you feel empowered by making that decision and looking at your life now and going, like, reflecting on that for a second and just going, man, like, best thing I've ever done. And my life is beautiful, and my life is, you know, worth something.
At 28, I'm teaching at college, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself lately, and just really where I was and so settled in and so, you know, willing to be controlled and everything, because it's not always the other person's fault. You know, you also have to be somewhat willing to be in that spot. And then when you finally figure out that you're not willing, that's the journey, is to get out of that spot. And it's the same thing with abuse and other things. And, you know, it's so hard to figure out that you're in that spot. And that's really the challenge, is just to say, like, no, this is wrong and it's not fixable. And, like I always said, like, the foundation of the marriage wasn't correct. So when you start to try to build up this, you know, this life, then you, and there's already a crack in the foundation, which was what happened. And then you're trying to build this life. It's all fake, and it's all, you know, at one more earthquake or one more crack, it's going to all fall through. And mm-hmm. I just didn't want to live my life tiptoeing around anymore. And, you know, I don't want eggshells everywhere. There's always going to be some somewhere, but, like, you don't want that to be your entire life.
Right.
And I know that the person I am today is much stronger than the person I was 2 years ago, and much stronger than I was even, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've got a lot of people that are very strong, and I see them every day, and they teach me stuff. And, you know, like, my mom has always been very strong. Her and my dad don't live together, and they're both fabulous people, but you know, there were some things that happened that they've never been romantic with each other. And I see my mom be strong through a lot of things, and just really learning from her in that situation and how she couldn't get out of any sort of situation because she had my brother and I, and I didn't want to get into that kind of situation either, with mm-hmm. being like, well, now I guess I have to have a family, and because that's what's supposed to happen when you get married. And, you know, that's our, you know, worldview on what happens is, you know, when are you going to have kids? Mm-hmm. And you're like, I wasn't ever thinking about that. Maybe, I don't know. I am now. But, like, you know, at the time I was never thinking about it. And that's another something that's changed in my life, is, like, now I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know if Paul and I got married, or if I, you know, if that didn't happen or whatever, I still think, you know, working with kids and wanting to have kids is, like, an important thing in my life now. Mm-hmm. And it was never, ever even on my radar before. So,
yeah.
Does that kind of change a lot of things? And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have really, you've come through strong. And, you know, it's a journey. So it's really great. And I thank you for sharing that little piece.
Yeah.
Because I know that's kind of just the yucky part of all of it, because you are so excited about everything else that's happening in your life and that has ever happened in your life.
Yeah.
So let's go back to talking about Sherry, because that's my favorite.
I'm ready. Yeah. I loved playing Sherry
in
Ages. And She did kind of the opposite that I did, which is kind of funny because she goes to LA to have a, you know, new life. And the cool thing about her character is that she never stops trying for it. Mm-hmm. Even, I mean, she has to become a stripper and, like, all these things. But she's never really like, well, this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then when she meets Drew and, you know, they finally figure out that they're in love, she realizes that her... that dreams can change and that, you know, you don't have to be on Broadway to be able to do theater and you don't have to be on Broadway to be happy or whatever. You know, her dream is to become a singer or an actress and a rock star and all this stuff. And when she meets Drew and they finally find each other, she realizes that there are other things in life that could make her just as happy mm-hmm. and that she's already got them and doesn't have to, you know, doesn't have to be exactly what she planned, but she can... Which is very much like my life, yeah. You know?
Like, did you feel like there was, like, a big parallel during that show?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was very weird because a couple of us cast members ended up with things that were happening in our life that were very similar. And I think, honestly, that somehow, with whatever force, God, Juju, anything, put us all together in that cast. Because I've never, ever been in another show that a cast was that close mm-hmm. and really connected. And just had so much fun every show and every rehearsal. And it was just so crazy. And, you know, I met Paul during that show. And I just remember messaging him and being like, hey, so since we have to make out on stage, why don't we get to know each other first? And he told me that that was the moment he knew he was going to be in love with me. Because, like, I was like, anyways, we have to make out on stage. And so... what's your favorite cocktail? I don't know. Like, let's get to know each other before we meet and basically have to sing love songs for the entire show because that's what happens. Yeah. And I'm going to be in lingerie 80s, in front of you.
80s love songs.
Yeah, 80s love songs.
And you're going to be in lingerie.
Yeah, and I'll be in lingerie dancing on you in the first couple of songs. Yeah. So it's going to be great. And so I got to meet him and, again, Bed Mattson, who will always have my heart. And yeah. Got to get a lot of wisdom from Ben Mattson during that show. We would go on hikes every day before rehearsal. And I got really in really good shape during that show. I learned how to pole dance, you know? What else could you want in a show?
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
Lingerie, pole dancing, and 80s love songs. That's that show for me. But, you know, just got to meet these really, really great people. And I'd already heard about Ben, of course, because everybody knows Ben. Mm-hmm. But he's just one of those humans that knows how to talk to you about real things without making it super intense mm-hmm. and like you're really good great at this too but you don't meet those people all the time that you can really feel like you're like and here's everything that happened in my life
yeah.
let's go on a hike and sing songs while we're doing it too.
So what you're saying is we're gonna go on a hike after this.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm already looking forward to it.
Maybe tomorrow or when the show's done because I sweat a lot in the
done and done. Yeah, yeah. I'm totally okay with that.
Yes, because you know, I've been dressing as a boy for the past 2 months yes. in leather jacket and a hat.
Let's talk about All Shook Up. Actually, let's talk about just this past summer, because there's a lot of new stuff happening. Actually, the past, like, I guess, year. Mm-hmm. Because the first time you were in Sandstone was last year, Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And that's when people looked at you and went, she's really good with kids. Because not only were you playing a nanny.
Yeah.
You know, Haley would come home and she would tell me stories about what's happening, you know, backstage. And how you were really, you were very in control. And you were very good at encouraging those kids. Because there was 4 kids in that cast.
Yes.
And, you know, 2 on one night, 2 on the other, 2 on the other. And they looked up to you. They respected you. They listened to you.
Yeah.
And you were able to really keep a good grasp on things that were happening on stage and off.
Yeah.
And I think that people looked at you and went, she has something.
I love working with kids. And I got to work with kids in Pagosa. And then I did a show called Bugsy Malone in Durango. And then when I came to do Mary Poppins, again, I was fortunate enough to get to be Mary Poppins. Oh my gosh, like title role of the show. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. And we had 4 great, great, great kids. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be really intimidating as even just a younger actor in something that, you know, has a little bit of an older, you know, acting presence in it, especially with it was being my first year. Sandstone tends to rehire people, which is fantastic. But I was the one coming in as the lead role and not knowing anybody. Mm-hmm. And you have like Georgia Grant, who's been there for like 4 years, and she's so fantastic. And I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, her and Mario have been there for a long time. And, you know, Paul had done it before, and he got to be my Bert. Yay. But he'd done it for a couple years beforehand, and so I was like, great, I'm going to come in as this new person, and everyone's going to be like, gross, she's Mary Poppins, and she's never even worked here before. But it wasn't like that at all, and so I tried to really keep that going with the kids, and I always think that with kids, I'm a little bit hard on kids, and I think that that tends to yield a better show, because when you're just like, oh, it's okay, it'll be fine, you know, we can get through that, and instead, you're like, hey, I asked you to do something, and I need you to do it now. Like, not in 5 minutes. Like, we won't finish the show if this doesn't happen. We had parents told us that we were strict in Lion King. But then when they come to see the show, and they're like,
holy cow.
Oh, okay. That really happened for our Christmas show, which was the best Christmas pageant ever. And we had 27 kids with just Paul and I doing set, costumes, props, music design, staging, you know, directing, everything was just Paul and I. And, you know, a lot of the kids were like, man, you guys are really harsh on us. And we had a couple parents in there too, like Deja and a couple other people. And then when people see the show and the transitions are fast and it's actually, you know, an hour long show rather than an hour and 45 minutes because you're not watching kids walk on and off stage. Mm-hmm. I always laugh because I'm like, I'm gonna have a walking rehearsal with you guys. Like, walk on and off stage faster. Let's go. And it was the same thing with Mary Poppins, is she's very, like, you know, less, and she's still strict in the movie, but especially in the show, she's very, like, all right, kids, chip chop, let's go, okay, snip snap, you know, walk off. And I think having that, having the kids have a little bit of a better knowledge of what's happening helps everybody.
Well, so you literally, and unlike other adults, I think that you have done a really good job at setting expectations, and you're not setting that bar low. Because oftentimes, especially in children's programs, whether it's in a sports program where kids are real little, like baseball or soccer or something, we naturally set the bar very low for those kids because we're like, oh, they're little. And so we set those expectations low, and they may or may not meet them, and nobody even blinks an eye. They're just like, well, there we go. Summer's over.
Right.
And what you have done is you set that bar much higher, and you expect kids to reach that. And when they do, people on the outside see it, and you deliver.
Yeah.
And it's successful.
Right.
And so, you know, while people are telling you that you're more strict, I watched The Lion King first session, and, you know, the second session is coming up this Wednesday.
Yeah. Come see us. It's free.
Yes. I was blown away.
Thank you.
Yes. And I've seen, you know, I've seen lots of Sandstone shows now at this point, and I was blown away about just at how – what your set looked like. Number one, the costumes for the kids, the on and the offs of them. I mean, you're right. Like, you, I didn't see the best Christmas pageant ever. I'm sorry. That's I didn't okay. see that show.
I'll forgive you.
I know. Thank you. But I saw Oliver, and you were in charge of all of those kids at Oliver.
Yeah.
And there were scenes where there's like 30 kids on stage with you and Paul. There's the car scene.
Yeah.
And kids weren't waving at their parents. I mean, they were in character. Mm-hmm. They were still cute as crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so adorable.
Yeah.
And the show was lovely. But I think that had another person been in charge of them, those kids would have looked much different. And because, again, those expectations are set a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Where you've come in, and it's probably, it comes from you growing up in LA.
Yeah.
And having those expectations put on you. And so I think that that's something that you should be congratulated for.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
I just love working with kids. And I think when you require them to be a little bit more professional during stuff, they show you everything they can do rather than just thinking that they can get away with the easy stuff that they can do. You know, and when you're teaching them a box square or a time step or something like that, and they're like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. Then the next time you do it, they remember. And it's just, kids are so amazing, and they're just so funny. And I think when you allow them to be their own age rather than just expecting them to be the, especially when you're working with 8 to 12-year-olds, like, that's a pretty big difference in age and in schooling and everything, you know. So the kids who are 8, sometimes they're the most adult, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're just, okay, all right, come on in. And, you know, it kids are just so different. So I like to set the bar at the same level for every kid and just, you know, expect kids to help. And, you know, they have responsibilities and set changes and scene changes and all that stuff. And I know that, you know, Paul gets to be the fun one. I always joke, like, he gets to play the games and I'm always writing down the notes and, like, everything. But I think we're a really good balance too. The two of us really make this good, like, marriage of, like, making things super fun on stage, and then I'm the one that comes in and is like, okay, and now we still need you to do these things. You know, we said sit down on this word, and that's the word I want you to sit down on, and if you can't do that, you know, I, you know, we might have to have you sit out for this scene. And they're like, oh, no. And I've never had to do it, but, like, I've always, you know,
because they want to make that, they, you've given that them that expectation, and they make it.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, the Lion King, the first session of Lion King, oh my gosh, they just kicked butt. They were amazing. And the second session is going to be so amazing as well. And it's just so, it's hard for me because they're such different kids, but I'm having so much fun learning what the Lion King is with the different session because it's just totally different. And it's so, so, so much fun. And we have, you know, a bunch of kids that are just like rising to the occasion. And it's so awesome to see them take charge and come in and you're like, okay, well, you have the responsibility of being a dance captain for this scene now. So everybody's going to be watching you. And they're like, okay, all right. Like, I had to ask a girl to learn a couple extra lines the other day. And she was like, stood up a little bit straighter and was like, okay, I can do that. And it's just amazing to see them like have this extra responsibility and just, they just, kids are so amazing and they're so talented. And I just love working with them. They're so much fun.
And you've inspired them. I don't think that they're going to walk away from this experience going, I'm never doing theater again.
I hope
not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's true. You and Paul work so well together. I think that, you know, the way that you just described Paul being the fun one and you being the one that's like, okay, now we're going to actually do this. You work and it makes it brilliant. And I think that there's a lot of things in that the ebb and flow of you and Paul, just in the amount of time that I've been able to be in y'all's presence, it's obvious in everything. It's not just theater that you compliment each other. And Haley's constantly coming home and going, you know, because always I'm like, how was children's? How was teen? And she's always saying something like, you know, making just that reference to you and Paul just complimenting each other, and where Paul is weak, you are strong, and vice versa. And because Paul has lots of strong qualities. And you just said it. Like, you're not the one that is, you know, super fun. I think that you are fun.
Just with kids. I mean, like, I still have fun with them, but, like, a little bit more business, and he's more pleasure. And that's, like, that sounds weird to say to me about kids, but you know what I mean? Like, he's more of the fun part, and I'm a little bit more business with kids.
And that's, like, how it's, that's how it works. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually really cool, and it works, and there are things that are coming up for you and Paul that you get to experience together and share together, and again have that thing where you compliment his weaknesses and he compliments your weaknesses, and invite, you know. So,
and he's so supportive, and I'm always, I'm more the DQ, as you say, the drama queen, and, you know, I'm always like, it's never going to work out, and how is this going to happen, and, you know, and then he's like, it's okay, breathe, we're good, we're going to get through this, like, just let it happen, and then every once in a while, he's like, I just don't think I can do this, and I'm like, no, you totally can, like, I know that you can, like, you are the funniest, best person that I've ever worked with, and you have this work ethic that's so, so different than me, because I'm like the let's type everything out and write out the lyrics, and we're doing dance call, you know, for something tonight, so it's just, well, I'm like, type out the lyrics and write every dance next to it, and he's like, I don't know, just feel it, it's gonna be great, like, that's how we work together, and I'm like, oh, that would be a dance move, and he's like, I don't know what it's called, but let's just move, and it's just really super fun.
Yeah,
it's a good life doing that.
Yeah.
And getting to work with kids. And hopefully we get to do, we're working on getting the rights and everything to Elf Junior possibly for the winter. So hopefully we can get that going. If we do, I'll let everybody know.
And we'll share it like crazy here too. So
yeah. So we're just working on getting the budget and rights and everything for that. So hopefully that'll work out and we can keep doing it. So.
And that'll be through the college, right?
That would be through the Civic Center, through Heather McGoy Children's Theater, hopefully. hopefully. We're still working on getting everything talked through about that.
Okay, but so it'll be on the City of Farmington's page.
Yep.
Cool. So is there any kind of things that you want to talk about, like, in terms of your friends that you have from California and what all of those connections that you've made, just vice versa?
Yeah. Even outside of California, I've made a lot of friends doing professional theater, and I've got a lot of people. Like, the first time I went into a professional show for Spamalot and the Full Monty, I met this girl named Jamie, and she is still one of my best friends ever. And she told me about making, like, a theater book and took time with me that summer because I was only, like, 21 moving into a new place, because, you know, I moved the day after my 21st birthday to Colorado, and just like crazy. And she really taught me a lot that year, and she's now a model and still does children's theater and stuff, and I believe she's in Minnesota, and so she's working as a model there now, and just like I can still contact her if I need to. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, people like Katie, who's working in Chicago, and she's like, just come to Chicago already. They do a lot of new works here, and I work at a theater, and I could teach you all of this, and it'd be so fantastic. And some of the people I've gotten to work with, like Ryan Hazelbaker and stuff, he's one of the best, most professional people I've ever worked with, and he has been in Philly for a while. He just got married to his boyfriend Sam, who's now his husband, and like, and they're amazing. And just all these people that I've really gotten to work with, and you learn something from everybody, because nobody has the same acting style as mm-hmm. you, and nobody has the same experiences as you. So the more that you get to know people from different places, especially, you know, and like James, who moved to California to pursue acting on stage, on screen, instead of being, you know, just in musicals and everything else, and he's learning stuff there. And just a lot of these people that you find that you can ask about their experiences, and rarely do you find somebody that just is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
so what I hear you saying is, you, because of the things that you have been able to have in your life, you have this huge connection of folks all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's part of your personality. You are a really easy person to sit in front of, and you're a joy. And
you
really are. You're just a fun person, and you care genuinely for people, and you are very talented. And so, yes, what I hear you saying is, you know, all of these people all over the place, and I think that that can be an encouragement to somebody else who maybe is a little bit scared of stepping out of the box and
yeah.
being vulnerable and auditioning for something that maybe you feel like you're not going to get, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I always say, do the audition, even if you're not sure if you can go. I mean, you really can be a professional theater person in the U.S., right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a career in this. There's this girl named Heather McCall who I've known for a couple years, and she's never stopped working in the time that I've known her. And she's extremely talented and this beautiful dancer and beautiful actress and singer. And she just got to play Elle Woods in Legally Blonde at Pagosa.
Uh-huh.
And she's one of those people that really inspires me, because I just always see her working. She's always posting. She was just in, she's in Joseph now, somewhere around the U.S. Mm-hmm. And like, so I have friends that are on tour in Shanghai right now, mm-hmm. you know, and around China. And it's really something that you can do. And I always say, just do the audition, because you can't go back and re-audition, but you can say no.
Mm-hmm.
And people oftentimes don't really understand that until they start doing it, because you can always ask for feedback. People might not necessarily give it to you, but you can always say, you know, thank you so much for the opportunity. What could I do better next time if I was to audition for you? And some people will really give you some great feedback, and that's how you learn. I also had a friend who always used to tell me to take a video audition every day, you know, that as your, like, work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to send in a video audition somewhere, you can always just send them one that you have archived, and then you don't have to, video auditions are the worst, because you have to hear yourself and see yourself, and it's just the worst. But, you know, I would say just do it. Just audition for whatever you can, because once the show goes up and gets cast, you don't have that opportunity anymore. And
you build experience
yeah.
doing it over and over and over.
And connections. I mean, when you're auditioning in New York, one of my friends, Jocelyn, I'm just throwing names out. Hi, everybody. She was telling me about auditioning in New York, and she's like, by the time I get there now, they know my name. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, not that it's even more likely that, you know, she's going to get cast. She's fantastic, and she's playing Judy in White Christmas right now. But that when you go in, they're like, oh, hey, Jocelyn, how are you doing? Or, hey, Melissa, how are you doing? I mean, that's how I got the job at the college. Was I auditioned for Linnean like 5 times. And mm-hmm. she was like, fine, do it. Like, stop bothering me. But she didn't say that. But, and then I got to do this opportunity, too, by, you know, just knowing her and really, you know, she knows me now. And, I mean, I've sung between Mary Poppins and Sherry. That's 80s rock music to Elvis to singing Mary Poppins. And then all the way to Nancy and Oliver, mm-hmm. who's a alto, who's singing a low song, to, again, Mary Poppins, who sings a high C for 3 songs in the show. And,
right.
You know, like, people don't get to see that a lot, especially if you don't audition more than once, because there's totally different shows. I sound totally different as Sherry than I do as Natalie, than I do as Nancy or Mary Poppins. And the more you audition and get out there, the better your chances to just really have that experience and meet other people. And networking, too, is super important, just because you'll meet, you know, people like Paul. I met him at auditions, but I didn't know. And then, you know, now we've been dating for 2.5 years. So who knew?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's just a really always audition. Mm-hmm. Do it. Straight from the source.
That's right. That's right. And you are very smart, so people should listen to you. So I never want to cut people off, and I always want to make sure that you have been able to share all of the experiences and all of the love that you have with the folks who are listening. Is there anything else that you would like to tell people about?
Yeah, just 2 small little things.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not small. They're awesome. I'm teaching at the college this mm-hmm. next semester, so I still have spaces. So in case of you that are listening, teaching Theater 101, which is just intro to theater, and then I'm teaching a musical theater performance class, and I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And I'm also teaching with Kate's Creative this next year. And actually, Paul and I will be teaching a Tuesday children's improv class. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And then I get to teach children's and teens musical theater. So check Kate's Creative out, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy will put a post on there.
Well, yeah, we'll put the links in here.
Great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and they're really just fantastic. We got to go to the ribbon cutting there. And they're at the Civic Center, and get to do a quick week with Kate's Creative and teach kids from 5 to about 16 in 2 different sessions, musical theater. And, oh, my gosh, you haven't lived until you've seen a 5-year-old singing It's a Hard Knock Life. Oh, my gosh, it's hilarious. And, again, I require a lot of stuff because I like to do the dancing and singing and throw it all together. And, man, did that 5-year-old nail it.
Uh-huh.
She was awesome. And there with the, you know, 10-year-olds who are a little bit bigger than her, and she's tiny and just singing her whole heart out. And you haven't lived until you've seen these kids
yes,
do their thing.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Come see Lion King on the 31st. And
yeah.
It's
again, what time's the show?
It's at 8 p.m. Doors will open at 6:30. And I believe concessions will be open again. I'm not positive. But you can get into the pavilion at 6:30, and then the actual doors to the theater will be open at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids will perform at the same time that the adults perform. Again, one of my things, just do that. And it's only about 45 minutes. And again.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free.
Free 45 minutes.
Yeah, we'll take donations. Wonderful. So, you know, for the next year of theater. But I know the kids in the first session really, really did a good job. And mm-hmm. these kids are just absolutely bringing their own flair to it. So it's so much fun. And
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Melissa, thank you so much for being vulnerable and just sharing your life with Small Town Expectations. You didn't grow up in a small town, but you know what it's like to live in one.
Oh, yeah.
And there's definitely things that have you've grown and you have developed because you have had that moment in a small town.
Yeah.
Whether it was Pagosa, Durango, or Farmington. Good stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. This has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.